got a high of 64 on Monday. Wow. This is a great start to December.
It's awesome.
You got it on ESPN Radio 93.5, 95.3.
Ladies and gentlemen, Fridays, it's Bill Melberg, our political humorist and satirist from Chicago on it. EveningWithThePresidents.com and EveningWithThePresidents.com. Learn more about Bill. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Stevie. Good morning, Diane.
Good morning.
Good afternoon, Captain Sorensen, retired SAS Airlines pilot, listening to us in Denmark on the internet today.
Whoa!
Nice.
And good morning, ESPN radio listeners.
Hey, Bill, you buy any Powerball tickets this week?
No, I did not, Stevie. As Rodney Dangerfield used to say, I'm a born loser. It's been that way my whole life. Oh, you know me. I got no respect. But I digress.
I've always loved your Rodney Dangerfield impression. I really love that Powerball record jackpot, $589 million. Can you believe it?
Well, that's why I did not buy any tickets. Not only were your chances 1 in 175 million of winning, but imagine the taxes you'd be paying on that jackpot if President Obama gets his way and Congress socks it to the millionaires and billionaires and almost billionaires. Starting in January. It's a good example of easy come, easy go.
Well, speaking of tax hikes, what do you think is going to happen as we approach the fiscal cliff over the next 30 days? Will the House and the Senate and the President reach some sort of compromise?
That's a good question, Stevie, and there will be many more like it in the days to come concerning dividends and pensions and 401ks and Obamacare and Medicare and all the rest. I'll tell you one thing. I wish I'd been a fly on the wall in the White House when Barack Obama and Mitt Romney got together for lunch yesterday. That must have been quite a meal.
Yeah.
I mean, I did not get the impression during the campaign that Barack Obama and Mitt Romney had any warm or fuzzy feelings for each other. In fact, you could not have two more opposite people. Barack Obama, the community organizer, and Mitt Romney, the venture capitalist.
Yes, Barack Obama and Mitt Romney certainly are an odd couple. And here to tell us about their luncheon is the winner of the November 6th election, President Barack Obama. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Stevie. And hello, Diane.
Hello.
Great to be with you.
Yeah, well, Mr. President, what was the first thing Mitt Romney said to you and the First Lady when he arrived at the White House yesterday?
He said, "Hi, guys." That's what he always says.
And how great was it to be at lunch with Mitt Romney yesterday? How do you guys get along?
Stevie, we got along just fine. Governor Romney is a gentleman, and he took the opportunity to congratulate me once again on my victory and to tell me that he will help me in any way that he can.
And what did you tell him?
I told him that it's always nice to talk with a gracious loser. And make no mistake about it, Mitt Romney is a loser. Big time. But in the spirit of the occasion, I did not remind him of that cold, hard fact. After all, I did not want to spoil his meal.
All right, tell me, what did you serve? What was on the luncheon menu when you sat down with Governor Romney?
Stevie, first we served some drinks. Bitter lemon. Then we served some fruit. Bitter melon. Then we served the main course. Roast breast of crow, barbecued crow's wings, and crow gizzards.
In other words, you made Mitt Romney eat crow. Okay. All right. What about dessert? What did you serve Governor Romney for dessert?
A very large slice of humble pie.
Did you part on good terms at the end of this meeting, sir?
Yes, we did. And as Governor Romney was leaving, I said, that'll be $45.50.
$45.50?
Yes, $45.50. That was Governor Romney's fair share for the cost of the meal. And make no mistake about it, we're going to force millionaires and billionaires and corporate jet owners to pay their fair share from now on.
All right, one last question, Mr. President. Did Governor Romney ask you for anything during his visit to the White House?
Yes, he did. Governor Romney asked me if he could sit at my desk in the Oval Office for just a few minutes to see how it feels to be in my chair.
What did you say?
I said, all right, if you'll let me join your Boston Country Club so that I'll have another place to play golf when I vacation in Massachusetts.
Well, it sounds like you had a very congenial meeting with Governor Romney, sir, and we thank you for giving us some of your valuable time this morning.
No problem, Stevie. Catch you guys later.
All right, we're now joined by former President Bill Clinton, who's here to talk about his wife, Hillary, and her potential run for president in 2016. Good morning, Mr. President.
Good morning, Stevie. Hello, Diane.
Oh, hi.
Mr. President, Mr. President, I understand that you're having another fundraiser to help pay off Hillary's 2008 campaign debt. Is this correct?
Well, Stevie, it's not exactly a fundraiser. It's more of a fundraiser. You see, if you give $35,000 to the 2008 Hillary for President campaign fund, you'll get to spend a day going around New York City with yours truly. And let me tell you, it will be fun.
How much money does the 2008 campaign still owes, sir?
$70,000. So if you and Diane each cough up $35,000 apiece, the three of us will party hardy in the Big Apple.
And once the 2008 campaign debt is paid off, I assume you're going to be raising money for Hillary's 2016 presidential campaign?
That's right, Stevie. And, you know, we have to get started early. Because one of Hillary's potential rivals is already running negative attack ads against her. And I mean, you know, this is just awful.
You've got to be kidding.
No, I'm not kidding. Just listen to this.
Greetings, fellow Democrats. And remember, it's never too soon to start thinking about who our next president ought to be. It shouldn't be Hillary Rodham Clinton. After all, what does Hillary Rodham Clinton know about the presidency? Oh, yes, she was married to a president. But did she really know what was going on in the White House during those 8 years? And was Hillary Rodham Clinton ever a heartbeat away from the presidency, like Vice President Joe Biden? I don't think so. Does Hillary Rodham Clinton have a working-class background like Joe Biden? No. Her family belonged to a country club in an exclusive Chicago suburb. Joe Biden grew up in Scranton. And don't forget Benghazi. That was Hillary's mess. So in 2016, cast your primary vote for the man President Obama describes as the greatest vice president ever. Joe Biden, paid for by the committee to elect Joe Biden, Chuckles the Clown, chairman.
Wow. That election is 4 years away, and it's already getting nasty.
Yes, it sure is, Stevie. Very, very nasty. I mean, Joe Biden's running those ads already. We got to get started.
Well, Mr. President, I'm afraid that's all the time we have left in this segment. We thank you so much, sir, so much for joining us. But when we come back, political humorist Bill Melberg will be bringing us the second installment in our annual series of obscure Christmas songs, so you don't want to miss it. ESPN Radio, 93.5, 95.3. Ladies and gentlemen, we're back with political humorist and satirist Bill Melberg. Bill, last week, obscure Christmas song, the first in our annual series of obscure Christmas songs, wasn't so obscure, Blue Christmas, as sung by Elvis Presley.
and Diane, I explained last week that we were playing Blue Christmas, Blue Christmas, for our Republican listeners who might be feeling a little blue this Christmas now that Barack Obama has been reelected president. After all, they were expecting Mitt Romney to be headed toward the White House in January, not just to visit, but to stay. In any case, this morning's obscure Christmas song really is obscure. I mean, this is really obscure. And I bet very few of our listeners will recognize the song or the artist. Here it is.
I was riding herd one night all on a Christmas Eve when I saw a spooky sight, one you never believe. All tuckered out and bone-tired, weary, Santa Claus came my way, dragging his reindeer across the prairie, hitched to a big red sleigh.
Santa got lost in Texas and didn't know how to leave. Santa got lost in Texas all on Christmas Eve.
Set right down and rest, I said, here by the campfire's glow. Share my coffee, beans, and bread before you have to go. You're pretty dumb like me, he said, to work in the wintry frost. I'm pretty dumb like you, I said, but mister, I ain't lost.
Santa got lost in Texas and didn't know how to leave. Santa got lost in Texas all on Christmas Eve.
I've been riding long, says he, looking for just one guy. Texas is too big for me, too darn wide and high.
All right, there you have it. This week's obscure Christmas song. And that was who, Bill?
Do you have any ideas, Stevie and Diane?
Diane, do you know?
I don't know. Bush? I don't know.
A good guess. But that was Santa Got Lost in Texas, which you might have figured out from the chorus, as sung by Michael Landon.
What?
Oh.
Michael Landon of Bonanza, Little House on the Prairie, Highway to Heaven fame?
That's the one.
Unbelievable.
Little Joe, wasn't he? Little Joe and
awesome.
Bonanza.
Yeah, Bill, that's right. Hey, Bill, we're going to leave it there, my friend. We'll talk to you next Friday.
Ask you wow wow.
Thank you, Diane.
Enjoy the weekend.
ESPN 93.5, 95.3. I'm Stevie J. Have a great weekend.
You don't have to go far to experience a blend of cuisines from around the globe. All you have to do is make your reservation.